friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Happy Friday and welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. English Premier League football has suspended its season until April 3rd. It's the latest casualty of the coronavirus outbreak that has shut down most major sports here in the United States the past few days. The EPL is perhaps the most popular football league in the world, and it features such African stars as Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang of Arsenal and Mohamed Salah and Sadio Mane of Liverpool. The decision to suspend the season came after an outbreak of coronavirus at both Chelsea and Arsenal. Both first-team squads and nearly 100 members of staff are in self-isolation. Samson O'Malley joins us now with a look at how coronavirus is affecting African sports. Sporty greetings, Samson.
Sporty greetings to you, Sonny. The Confederation of African Football is sending a delegation of the CAF Medical Committee to Cameroon this weekend to assess all the preventive measures taken by the local organizing committee ahead of the CAF-organized African Nations Championship to be held in Cameroon from the 4th to the 25th of April 2020. CAF has also announced that the continent's football governing body has decided to maintain the schedule of all competitions while it is closely monitoring the evolution of the coronavirus in Africa.
My name is Amadou Marvin Penick, President of Nigerian Football Federation, first Vice President of CAF, and a member of the organizing committee for FIFA competitions. I want to say a big shout out to the Sunny Side of Sports. Thank you very much.
In Nigeria, the president of the Nigerian Football Federation, Amadou Penick, says the Football Federation intends to minimize contacts with the national football team, the Super Eagles of Nigeria, ahead of the AFCON 2021 qualifiers against Sierra Leone later this month. And to this end, the NFF president, Amadou Penick, said that the Football Federation has been in contact with the Federal Ministry of Health and the Center for Disease Control in Nigeria to ensure that all safety precautions are explored ahead of the qualifiers.
We are working with the ministry, both the Ministry of Youth and Sports and also the Ministry of Health, regarding the coronavirus and in ensuring that we are very well prepared. We are also in touch with the disease control unit of the Federal Ministry of Health. And what we have decided to do, with the permission of the Honorable Minister, at this point, we are trying to restrict movement towards the Super Eagles as much as possible.
Elsewhere in Kenya, Athletics Kenya said on Thursday it had barred its athletes from traveling to international events due to concerns over the coronavirus outbreak. Kenya has not had a confirmed case of the virus yet, but Athletics Kenya, in a bid to safeguard the athletes and Kenya from the virus, has urged all athletes to cancel travel arrangements for the next 1 month pending further communication. I am Samson O'Malley in Abuja, Nigeria.
Senegal and Nigeria were the top performing teams at the recent Africa Zone 2 Swimming Championships in Accra, Ghana. In an encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, Yao Ofusulabi joins us again with this feature. Sporty greetings, Yao.
Sporty greetings from Accra, Sunny. Now, this was not exactly Chad Leclerc or Kirsty Coventry level of swimming perfection, but it had its own twist, turns, and fantastic excitement that amused many who watched on from the stands. The Zone 2 African Swimming Championships had never been in Ghana due to a lack of a standardized, internationally accepted pool, but after its construction in December last year, doors have opened for the country to have a look in anytime the idea of hosting a swimming championship comes in. Hosting a first-ever swimming championship must take some nerves, and local organizing committee chair, Sarah Asafoje, has tons of that.
The competition itself has been excellent. The
I think the swimmers will tell you they'll be the best people. It's been excellent. The performances have been unbelievable. We've had so many championship records set here, so many national records set here. Behind the scenes, it's been frantic, but that is normal. It's normal. There's always going to be slight challenges on the first day. But it's getting better, and I think anyone will go away from this competition saying that it was well organized.
The championship brought together different countries from the West African sub-region, with Senegal and Nigeria eventually leading the charge on the medal table. Senegal finished with a basket full of 49 medals, 21 of which were gold. The Nigerian swim team bagged 31 medals in all, and host nation Ghana finished with 28 medals in the bag, which was a marked improvement on other championships they have participated in. 21-year-old star of the show, Sebastian Kumar, from Mali, picked up 4 gold medals and has already been tipped by many as the next big thing in the sports from this continent.
I really love swimming. That's why I am always trying to do my best. And it's an honor, and I am very proud to be able to represent my country. That's why I always try to do my best when I'm in competition, and competition like that are very important for me, because it's a possibility to represent the country, and I'm very happy again to be here.
Ghana's swim team was the youngest at the championship with an average age of 16. Captain of the team and Ghana's only male swimmer at the 2016 Olympics, 19-year-old Abeku Jackson, bettered his time in the 50-meter freestyle race and sets a new national record at 22.92 seconds. He has set his sights on bigger things.
All I did out there was to give my best, just try as much as possible, go all out and see the outcome of it. For me, there's still more improvement to be done. More is always can be done. My aim is to go back home, to train even harder, work even harder, and try and even drop all my personal best or this new record.
Senegalese swimmers Amadou Ndiaye and Stéphane Kilian shared their thoughts on how well the competition will help their progression as young swimmers.
There is a lot of swimmers who did good time in Abeku Jackson in butterfly, but I think there is not too much swimmer in long distance.
For the pool, talking about the pool, is a really nice pool. Really nice swimmers around. I mean, I've been talking with my coach since the beginning of the meet. I'm not doing best times, but like he said, the same time last year, at the exact same time, I was going way slower, so I'm happy with what I'm doing right now.
Many young swimmers from different countries in the sub-region shared their thoughts.
I feel like the competition is a great experience. I feel like every competition, you learn something new and it helps you improve upon yourself.
Very satisfied how they were able to build the pool, and now we're able to organize it. Obviously, there were some organizational issues, but I think with the first time hosting it, really great learning experience, and we can just grow from this.
I love representing Ghana. It's really nice to be able to do that for a country. And so far, I've been really liking the results I've been getting in the championship, and how I've been swimming my events and the times. I've been liking it.
I'm happy with my times I've got. Hopefully I improve in the future.
I've achieved my personal targets, and I've the targets with the team, which was set for the team, was also achieved. So I'm proud of the boys, proud of the girls on the team, and proud of everyone.
For many of the young swimmers, this is a time to shine, better their times, and become stars like the ones they've adored for many years. It'll take a while, maybe a pretty long while, but one of these kids might just come out of this as the next African star in the pool. Michael Phelps, maybe. You never know. For the sunny side of sports, this is Yao Ofosulabi in Accra, Ghana.
Democrats across the country vote in primaries to choose their 2020 presidential nominee. Host Carol Castiel and VOA senior political analyst Brian Padden speak with Elaine Kmart, senior fellow in the Governance Studies program at the Brookings Institution. Listen this Saturday and Sunday on Press Conference USA.
Yes, sporty greetings. This is three-time Olympian and Beijing 2008 Olympic medalist Chika Chukwumerijie. You're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
The National Basketball Association suspended its season Wednesday night because of the growing coronavirus outbreak. It was the latest blow in a somber season for the NBA. In January, two of the league's guiding lights, former NBA commissioner David Stern and former Los Angeles Lakers star Kobe Bryant, both died. Kobe was killed in a helicopter crash near Los Angeles. I asked Mamoyo Hoops Hamza, the Voice of America's Swahili service chief, about Kobe's legacy.
His legacy, where do we begin? Kobe Bryant had so much respect for the game. You know, he never cheated the game by the way he prepared for it. He outworked everybody in the gym. His mind was, you get what you put in it. He felt blessed to play the game, and in his own words, he didn't want to waste time. That's why he spent so much time studying the game, loving the game, and playing hard. See, Sonny, there are so many professional basketball players in the league today who are in the game simply because they are 6'7", unlike myself. So somebody tells them, you should play basketball, you should play basketball. And they come into the game and they play basketball and they do well, but they do not apply themselves as Kobe did apply himself in the game throughout his entire career.
One of the things I've read about Kobe in the wake of his death is how he wanted to improve a certain facet of his game every season. He wanted to get better in at least one area.
Every season. And I remember something I was telling people all the time, that the greatest, the biggest NBA player at the time would always, during the summer, go to Houston and play in Hakeem Olajuwon's gym. He was always doing, he was always trying to best himself. And there are so many players who, during the summer, they would go on vacation in the Barbados, you know, everywhere. But Kobe would take a little rest, but then he goes to Houston in Hakeem Olajuwon's gym.
That's interesting you bring up Olajuwon. I know he had some great moves on the court, and so I'm guessing Kobe probably grabbed a few of those moves.
That's because Kobe started the game. He started the best players in the game. That's why he was playing so much like Michael Jordan. He had Kobe, Hakeem Olajuwon moves. He had Larry Bird's move. So you see, he's someone who really spent time to study the game and play it as aggressively as he could.
You're seeing a lot of hashtags now after Kobe's death. GOAT, greatest of all time. And I would dispute that in terms of where does he rate among the greatest players of all time. And we can have a friendly debate, Mamoyo, but in fact, I'd put two other former Lakers ahead of Kobe in terms of greatness, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar
and Magic Johnson.
Yeah, I think Magic was a better all-around player than Kobe.
It's really a tricky question exercise. But let's say in recent memory, you could put him in the top five. This is, you're talking about Magic Johnson.
Right, right.
Michael Jordan. You're talking about Kobe himself, Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. But then you go further back, there's Larry Bird, Will Chamberlain, Bill Russell, you know, all these great players and many others. But, you know, for the sake of argument, you could confidently say Kobe would be in the top 10 easily.
You have to give Kobe credit in terms of longevity also, Mamoyo. Kareem played 20 seasons in the NBA, as did Kobe, which is phenomenal just based on the amount of running he must have done during his career.
And play at a high level, as aggressively, as intense as he was playing. He wasn't coasting. He never coasted in a game. Kobe was always into the game. And to have played it for 20 years, this is really something.
Well, Mamoyo, we're going to hear now from a Hall of Fame player. Kobe will be in the Basketball Hall of Fame for sure. We're going to hear from Hall of Fame basketball player David Robinson of the San Antonio Spurs. And this was his reaction following the death of Kobe Bryant.
It's really hard to process the news today. You know, obviously a dear member of our family, of our NBA family, and I mean, an icon for this generation of kids. I mean, Michael was kind of our guy, and then now, you know, you've got Kobe and LeBron. I mean, these guys are they mean something to everybody. I played with some of the greatest athletes in the history of this sport, and Kobe brought everything to the table you would want to bring when it comes to competitiveness and work ethic and intelligence. And I mean, he was the, you know, epitome of a player. So, yeah, they don't come along very often like Kobe. Yeah, very, very rare.
Hall of Fame basketball player David Robinson. And Robinson played under Greg Popovich, who still coaches the San Antonio Spurs. His career kind of overlapped Kobe's. They've been pretty much contemporaries, right? Right, Memorial?
Yeah, for a while, during the time when David Robinson was, you know, finishing up his career. You know, they were playing in the same conference, and a lot of times San Antonio Spurs and Lakers met in the Western Conference.
That's right.
So
that's right.
There's a lot of memory right there.
And we have the Tokyo Olympics coming up later this year. And a quick shout out for Greg Popovich, because he will coach the USA team at Tokyo 2020. Here is what Coach Greg Popovich had to say after learning of the death of Kobe Bryant.
All of us know what a great player he was, but he went beyond great playing. He was a competitor that goes unmatched, and it's what made him, as a player, so attractive to everybody, that focus, that competitiveness, that will to win.
Will to win. That's a great line, Momoyo, in terms of Kobe's mindset, that Mamba mentality, which I think involves that will to win.
That's really what separated him from other players, the will to win. I remember, you know, some of my best moments. I remember the 2008 Western Conference. They were playing San Antonio Spurs. I think it went to Game 7. And there was one game when Kobe Bryant went above the backboard to get a rebound. You could tell that this guy really wants to win this game. He doesn't want to leave it on the floor. I mean, those are the kind of things. He played it so aggressively and beautifully, artistically beautifully, with conviction. You know, there are players who play beautiful with soft touches and all that, but he was aggressive but also beautiful.
Beautiful player indeed, Kobe Bryant. The son of a professional basketball player. Talk a little bit about Kobe's background, Memorial.
Yes, his father was also a professional ball player, Joe Jellybean Bryant. He played for 76ers in Philadelphia, and then he went to play in Italy, and that's where Kobe grew up. And that's why Kobe, you know, he speaks Italian. He speaks several other languages. And he also that's where Kobe picked up love for soccer. You know, a lot of people don't know this, but he really loves soccer. He was watching soccer. He did a commercial with Lionel Messi for, I think, for Turkish Airlines or something like that. So, you know, and he was worldly. That's what made Kobe a worldly person, he having lived abroad. And then when they came back, he went back to, you know, Philadelphia to finish high school. And so when he moved to L.A., we all know, Philadelphia, how aggressive and strong and gritty the sports of Philadelphia is. Remember all those boxers who came
That's
out
right.
of Philadelphia. So he took that strength and went to L.A., big lights, you know, Showtime, L.A.
Actually, Hollywood,
and he combined that. That's what we got for 20 years.
In terms of Kobe's linguistic skills, very worldly guy, as you said, Momoyo. I remember just a few weeks before his passing, he took his daughter to a game at Staples Center Arena, and he spoke a little Slovenian with Luka Doncic, the Mavericks young star.
And Luka was a little surprised because he had his back to Kobe, and he... he hears somebody speaking his language. So he turns around, it's Kobe. And then Kobe introduced him to his daughter. They were together there, and they took a selfie. You know, such beautiful moments that we are all going to remember. You know, when a famous broadcaster, Jim McKay, who used to be with ABC, I think, and NBC, he wrote a poem saying, when an athlete dies young, and this is what we are witnessing right now.
Mm. Well, I mentioned Luka Doncic Memorial. Let's hear from a couple of other current NBA players. First, we're going to hear from Houston Rockets guard Austin Rivers, and this is what he had to say after Kobe Bryant's death.
Such a great loss, you know. He's one of the greatest players to ever play the game, but more importantly, just for what he's meant for the youth of basketball and sports.
The youth of basketball, Momoyo, that's what Kobe has been getting a lot of credit for, being a mentor to some of these younger players.
Yeah, after, you know, soon after his retirement, he started investing himself into younger, you know, players with his, you know, the Mamba mentality, you know, institute, and even the way he died, you know, shows his dedication to the game, because I remember he was saying that the reason why he was using helicopters was because he wanted to cut down on the travel between home and the practice gym, because as you know, LA is notorious with traffic. So he didn't want to stay in traffic for an hour or two. So he would take a helicopter, which would take him 15 minutes. That gives him more time to practice hard and also be able to go home and be with his family.
And in terms of his family, when he died, he was going to his youth basketball academy in the Los Angeles area with his daughter. And Kobe really spoke out for women's basketball in retirement.
He was a big fan of WNBA. He was, you know, tweeting to them. He was attending the, you know, the games. A lot of... the other day, when the news came, there was a game. I can't remember the name of this young lady who plays for college. She broke in tears as they, you know, when the game was about to start, because they remember how he loved WNBA and how he cherished. Because in a way, that was an extension of his legacy, because he felt that his daughter is going to play in the WNBA.
Momoyo, you mentioned how Kobe felt right at home in Europe and some of these cosmopolitan cities all over the world. Now we're going to hear from one of the Spanish players in the NBA, and I think we'll probably see him at the Tokyo Olympics. This is Toronto Raptors center Marc Gasol.
You're not thinking about work. You don't think about profession. You don't think about points or anything like that. You think about life and what's really important, the bare necessities for you as a human being, and how fragile and how all that can be gone in a split second.
And Marc Gasol echoing the sentiments of a lot of people of just how fragile life is, especially when a sports hero like this passes, Momoyo.
Yes, and, you know, I mean, we as people who love sport, we look at sports, you know, personalities, and they're this, you know, strong, you know, young people who do wonders. So we kind of forget that they're human beings, that things could happen as human beings. And that's what makes it so, you know, painful. How could such a thing, how could an athlete so accomplished die so young, you know? That's because of the way we are looking at athletes.
Momoyo, some final thoughts on Kobe Bryant.
Well, I think he did what he wanted to do. I think he's very happy with you know, his basketball career, the way he played it, and I'm sure, you know, he's happy with his family. He would have loved to see his children grow, you know, but, you know, hey, that's just the way it is.
Thank you, Momoyo. That's the voice of America's Swahili service chief, Momoyo Hoops Hamza. And that wraps up the March 13th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the sunny side of sports.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
This is Science in a Minute.
A University of Geneva-led study provides evidence that it rains droplets of iron during the evening on the exoplanet WASP-76b. Study authors described the planet as an ultra-hot super-Jupiter located 390 light-years away and that it's tidally locked with its star. This means that the planet has a permanent day and night side. The day side temperature is said to be over 2,400 degrees Celsius, hot enough to vaporize metals like iron into the atmosphere. Night side temperatures drop to 1,500 degrees Celsius. The study authors found that strong winds are generated due to the temperature difference between the two sides of the planet. These winds carry the vaporized iron from the ultra-hot day side to the cooler night side, forming iron droplets that then fall like rain. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues.
It's about listening to them
and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.